Backstage, I've had a lot of fun listening to accent challenges in the past few days, so I thought I'd record my own. Your username. My username is Obsesivamente, and it comes from dealing with, for several years, some impulse control disorders. In case anyone is curious, they're trichotillomania and dermatillomania. Where you're from, I'm from Mexico. Pronounce the following words: aunt, roof, root, theater, iron, salmon, caramel, fire, water, New Orleans, pecan, both, again, probably, Alabama, lawyer, coupon, mayonnaise, pajamas, cot, naturally, aluminium, gif, Tumblr, Cracker Jack, Doorknob, Envelope, and GBOY, which I have no clue where you would use that. Well, probably Tumblr, but why you would use that? I'm not versed in Tumblr culture. What is it called when you throw toilet paper on a house? Being an asshole? I mean, honestly, it beyond Hollywood stereotypes of children being naughty or asshole teenagers, does anyone really do this? Or have you done it? I'm very interested in knowing if anyone has actually done this. But the term is TPing. What is a bubbly carbonated drink called? Soda or pop? Or in Spanish, refresco. What do you call gym shoes? Sneakers. Or in Spanish, tenis. What do you call your grandparents? Abuelos. What do you call the wheeled contraption in which you carry groceries at the supermarket? A cart or a carrito? What is the thing you change the TV channel with? The remote. Or in Spanish, el control. Which is funny because it's the remote control. Choose a book and read a passage from it. Okay, so I did get some books beforehand because I didn't want to get up and go get it. Ooh, my nose is itchy. Eek, sorry. The stretch of road that leads out of the city past Hazy Harbor and into the town of Tedia is perhaps the most unpleasant in the world. It is called Lousy Lane. Lousy Lane runs through fields that are a sickly gray color, in which a handful of scraggly trees produce apples so sour that one only has to look at them to feel ill. Lousy Lane traverses the Grim River, a body of water that is 9/10 mud and contains extremely unnerving fish. And it encircles a horseradish factory, so the entire area smells bitter and strong. I am sorry to tell you that this story begins with the Baudelaire orphans traveling along this most displeasing road. And that from this moment on, the story only gets worse. Of all the people in the world who have miserable lives, and, as I'm sure you know, there are quite a few, the Baudelaire youngsters take the cake, a phrase which here means that more horrible things have happened to them than just about anybody. Their misfortune began with an enormous fire that destroyed their home and killed both their loving parents, which is enough sadness to last anyone a lifetime. But in the case of these three children, it was only the bad beginning. After the fire, the siblings were sent to live with a distant relative named Count Olaf, a terrible and greedy man. The Baudelaire parents had left behind an enormous fortune, which would go to the children when Violet came of age, and Count Olaf was so obsessed with getting his filthy hands on the money that he hatched a devious plan that gives me nightmares to this day. And now I'm going to read one in Spanish. Because why not? Nací el 4 de enero de 1951. Es decir, la primera semana del primer mes del primer año de la segunda mitad del siglo XX. Algo, si se quiere, digno de ser conmemorado. Esta fue la razón por la cual decidieron llamarme Hajime. Pero, aparte de eso, nada de memorable hubo en mi nacimiento. Mi padre trabajaba en una importante compañía de valores. Mi madre era una ama de casa corriente. Durante la guerra, a mi padre lo reclutaron en una leva de estudiantes y lo enviaron a Singapur, donde, tras la rendición, permaneció un tiempo internado en un campo de prisioneros. La casa de mi madre fue bombardeada por los B-29 y ardió hasta los cimientos el último año de la guerra. Ambos pertenecen a una generación marcada por aquella larga contienda. Sin embargo, en la época en que yo nací, apenas quedaban ya huellas de la guerra. En los alrededores de casa no había ruinas calcinadas, tampoco se veía rastro de las fuerzas de ocupación. Vivíamos en un barrio pequeño y apacible, en una casa que la empresa de mi padre nos había cedido. Era una casa construida antes de la guerra, un poco vieja, tal vez, pero amplia. En el jardín crecían grandes pinos. Incluso había un pequeño estanque y una linterna votiva de piedra. That's enough of that. Okay. Do you think you have an accent? Yeah, I do. I think I sound American, probably, but I wouldn't be able to pinpoint exactly where from, because while I did live a few years in the States as a child, I left and came back to Mexico, and from there just continued to maintain and nurture my English via different sources, books, news, entertainment, and things. So quite honestly, I wouldn't be able to tell you where my accent is from as it is now. If anyone would like to take a gander at it, I'd be very interested to see what you define it as. End the audio post by saying the three words you want. Okay, so there's a backstory to the words. In a conversation with someone, they pronounced this word in English, and it was very entertaining for me. So the word is axolotl, and it's that cute little, like, lizard fish thing that has the very weird, like, hair gills and has the tail and the little feet and hands, and it's so fucking cute. But speaking with this person, they pronounced it as axolotl, and I died laughing. And it was not meant to insult, it was a beautiful way of pronouncing that word, and so wrong. And after laughing my ass off, and as a way of apologizing for doing that, I told this person this story, and I'm going to share it with you guys too, so the English speakers don't hate me. But in a tipsy afternoon with friends, we were talking, what were we talking about even? I don't really remember very well what we were talking about, but the topic of how English to Spanish translation tends to botch title names and, generally names. It's a mystery of why the people that translate choose to translate as they do, because it makes for hilarious results sometimes. But within this conversation, they were talking about how with certain book-to-movie adaptations, where of course you get the book first, when you see the movie, you actually learn how to correctly pronounce the names, no? So they were talking about Harry Potter and how, well, stupid popular, at least for people of my age, because we were kids when it came out and you grew up with it and you were deeply immersed into that world. So then the books came out and they were reading them. They were pronouncing the word Hermione as Hermione. And until the movies came out, they didn't know that Hermione was actually said as Hermione. And Bless their heart. That anecdote has given me hilarity and happiness for the past 7 years. So I thought I'd share that with you because it's given me so much joy. And for the last word, I'm going to say keshkemetl, which is a Nahuatl word, which Nahuatls are an indigenous Mexican. Si son mexicanos? Güey. Si, si son mexicanos. Okay. An indigenous Mexican group. And it's kind of like, it's like a poncho type of thing. It's for cold weather and it's woven by hand and they're super cute. And if anyone can write out keshkemetl purely by how I'm saying it, I will be high key fucking impressed, because even for Mexicans, it's not really a common word. So if you can write it out, yeah, you get a gold star. Oh, just small little bonus to add here. I was told that it might be fun to add my gringo accent. And for the people who don't know what that is, gringo is a term used for an American in Mexico. So gringo accent is heavily American accented Spanish. And I only do it for fun. I am not meaning to insult anyone, so please don't take it as such. I'm just gonna read like two or three sentences in like my Spanish, and then I'm gonna do it in gringo Spanish. So you can see the beautiful hilarity of the contrast. La mayoría de las familias tenía dos o tres niños. Ese era el promedio de hijos en el mundo donde crecí. Cuando evoco el rostro de los amigos que tuve en la infancia y la adolescencia, todos, sin excepción, como timbrados por un mismo sello, formaban parte de familias de dos o tres hijos. And now, for the gringo. La mayoría de las familias tenía dos o tres niños. Ese era el promedio de hijos en el mundo donde crecí. Cuando evoco el rostro de los amigos que tuve en la infancia y la adolescencia, todos, sin excepción, como timbrados por un mismo sello, formaban parte de familias de dos o tres hijos. Anyways, that's my contribution. I hope you enjoyed. Yeah, that's it.